Thanks, guys. Y'all sure sounded good this week. I'm telling you. Top notch. Top notch. Well, I started a new series a couple of weeks ago, and we're not doing that today. So this is a pause and something else. And like I said, we'll be leaving in a couple of days. We'll be gone for a bit. And when we get back, we'll see about continuing on the other. But you'll be in good hands, like always. I got stirred up about something Brother Copeland ministered. And I want to continue on that today. Go with me to 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John chapter 3. I think it was the first night, and he said it again the second day, talking about from the book of Hebrews, about being purged by the blood and having no consciousness of sin. And the Lord started dealing with me about that, and I am very stirred up today about it. And there are answers here. Very significant answers. We are the faith bunch.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That's right.
And we've learned some things about faith. Do you reckon we've about arrived?
No.
And, huh? We've about learned it all.
No.
But no, I don't think so. There's a number of people that have endeavored to believe but have come short. And not received what they are fully convinced is the will of God. Not received what they are fully persuaded is bought and paid for in redemption, but still have not received it. The will of God, the provision of redemption and receiving are two different things. Just because it belongs to you, that does not mean you'll automatically enjoy it.
That's right.
Hmm? Just because you say, I know it's God's will, that's still not the same as receiving it.
That's right.
And so you see one of the big reasons why there have been issues in this passage in 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and 19. Let's see. We'll look at that. Y'all okay?
Yes,
you believing with me?
Yes, sir.
Say it out loud. I'm getting answers today.
I'm getting answers today.
Amen. Amen. In 1 John 3 and 19, he said, hereby we know. And you'll find in this language of these next few verses, he's not talking about think so, hope so, could be. We know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. This is talking about assurance and confidence before God Himself. Assure our hearts before Him. We were just reading and during the offering in Romans 10, and talking about how believing works. And just back a couple of verses before that, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you'll believe in your heart that God's raised Jesus from the dead, if you'll confess Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved.
Yeah, right.
For with the heart man believeth. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, they got it. These guys are great. They don't have a clue where I'm going. I don't give them any notes, any warning. They're just prayed up and sharp. Look at that. What part of your being do you believe God with?
Heart.
Not your head.
No.
Not your emotions.
No.
Not your feelings.
No.
Not your flesh. Not your body. With your heart. So anything that affects your heart affects your faith.
Yes.
Y'all with me? Because that's what you believe God with. Your heart. With the heart, man believes, not the head. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs said. Huh? With all of your heart, and then what? Don't lean to your own understanding, very clearly saying they're different. Hmm? So you can have a head full of knowledge about faith and not have faith. Because knowledge isn't faith. You don't believe God with your head. You believe God with your heart. Your heart's a choice. You'll hear people sometimes say, well, I'm sorry, I just can't believe that. I just can't believe all that. That's an untrue statement. Just by reason of what faith is. Faith is not based on your understanding. Faith is a choice. Right? And you could believe it if you chose to.
Right?
And I mean, all you got to do is look around and listen a bit to see. People believe all kind of bizarre stuff. Right? You can believe anything you choose. It don't have to be true. It don't have to be reasonable. It don't have to be rational. It can be crazy nuts. And you'll find people go, oh, I believe that. Well, based on what? Say it out loud. Faith is a choice.
Faith is a choice.
A choice of the heart.
A choice of the heart.
So in 1 John 3, he said, hereby know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, he's going to talk about two big things here. That happened. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. What does that mean? It means it is dumb and clueless to try to run from God and hide from God when something's bothering your heart. He already knows. Right? It's not like you're going to finally get around to coming to him and fall down and go, oh, God, I messed up. And he goes, oh, really? What? What did you do? He saw it coming before you realized it, right? And so if we're smart, as soon as we do anything that causes our heart to bother us, we will not wait 5 minutes. Huh? We will not try to hide it, cover it, blame somebody else, explain it away. We will run to the Lord. Is that right? We will humble ourselves before him. We will acknowledge and confess and admit that we violated light. And we will receive our cleansing and washing immediately. Come on now with me. Realizing how dangerous condemnation is. How serious it is. And one thing to understand, Brother Copeland talked about this last night in that passage in John, about what the Holy Spirit would convince or convict of sin. And that is not the word condemn. Convict. Conviction is not condemnation.
That's right.
And I've heard people say, oh man, you know, boy, the Holy Spirit really got on me in that service. He really condemned me about some things. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. I said, no, he didn't. Have you read Romans? Who is he that condemns? Not God. Not the Christ. He came to get condemnation off of us. Condemnation is one of the worst things that could happen to you or to me. It is the faith destroyer. One of the worst things that can happen. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about grace, and we need to understand some things about grace. But just saying you believe that grace covers everything does not automatically rid you from condemnation. You can even say, you can quote and shout in the scripture, I mean in the service, you know, there's therefore now no condemnation. And you can holler about it and go home and carry your condemnation with you. This is happening. And it should not be. It doesn't have to be. But it's got to be more than words. Y'all okay?
Yes.
Keep reading. If our heart condemns us. So is that the Holy Spirit condemning you? No, that's your own heart, which happens to be the same thing you believe God with. If my heart is bothering me about something, if I don't get that fixed, it's going to interfere with my faith in believing God. You, me, doesn't matter how many scriptures you think you know. You cannot continue in your heart condemning you.
Yeah.
And I don't know the inside of you. You don't know the inside of me. I don't know how much light you have, if you really see it or don't, and what you see and what you don't. But when your heart bothers you, get it fixed. You've got to get that. You say, well, other people do it and it don't seem like they're bothered. That doesn't matter a bit.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
If your heart bothers you about it,
right?
To him that knows to do good,
yeah.
And does it not,
yeah.
To him, notice the language, to him?
Yeah.
Why didn't it say to everybody? No, to them, why? Because they think it's wrong. If you think it's wrong, you can't do it without sinning. And what's Romans 14:23? Is that what it is? Whatever is not of faith is sin. And one translation says, whatever's not done with a sense of its approval by God is sin. If you think it might be something wrong with it, you can't do it without your heart bothering you. You can do it, but your heart will bother you. Your conscience, your heart. Now notice he goes on to say, if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. He already knows. Run to him, not from him. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, this is the glory place. Then have we confidence toward God. And what does that do for us? And whatever we ask, we receive. Woo! Hallelujah! Why? Because, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, because we're doing what we know he told us to do, and we're keeping our heart clear, and we're doing what we know is pleasing him, and so we got no guilt, no condemnation, and our faith is hitting on all cylinders. Huh? Now back up to 21 again. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. What if your heart is condemning you? See, why is the word then? You're only going to be confident before God, which is the same as saying faith. When your heart's not condemning you. This is a missing part in a lot of faith people's lives. This is, they've fed that it's God's will for me to be healed and are convinced of that. They're fed that God wants me to prosper And they're convinced of that, but haven't received it. Amen. Haven't received it. Well, if you lived and died and never received it, it wouldn't change the fact that it's God's will.
Right.
And it belongs to you.
That's right.
But we need to acknowledge that anything that causes our heart to condemn us is going to interfere with our faith to receive. And this is what has been a big problem. A condemnation, a feeling of failure, and the enemy, his imps and his spirits, this is their job every day, to come and bring to your remembrance your mistakes and your failures and your sins. Sins of omission, sins of commission. You could have done this. Why didn't you do that? You should have done this. And he's not just doing that to be ugly. The thing the enemy's camp are most concerned about is your faith. Because if you start walking in boldness and confidence in the Word and speaking faith-filled words and using the name in faith, you can disrupt His kingdom all around you. And He knows that. He can't stop the Word. He can't undo the power of Jesus' name. He can't change the fact that it belongs to you. What He can do is bring to your remembrance your mistakes and failures to get you to dwell on that until you lose confidence. And your heart's bothering you. And in that condition, even though it belongs to you, you won't receive. You lose your boldness. You lose your confidence. Faith is confidence. In Hebrews 11, hallelujah, I want you to start gearing and get ready to shout. Hebrews 11, 1. Well, no, go to the 10th chapter. Just back up a little bit. I'll read from Hebrews 3 a verse, and then we'll get to there. Hebrews 3:14 says, we are made partakers of Christ, 3:14. Hebrews 3:14, we are made partakers of Christ. That's actually receiving it and enjoying it. If we do what? Hold the beginning, it's on the screen, beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. When do we have confidence toward God? Look at our text we read. When our heart doesn't condemn us. When our heart doesn't condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. And when are we made partakers of Christ? When are we partaking of, experiencing, enjoying what's been bought and paid for and given to us? If, look at it again, Hebrews 3:14, if means if you do, it'll happen. If you don't, it won't. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, you'll find this happens over and over and over again. You'll be seeking God about something, and He'll give you the answer. It may come in a private time. It may come on your bed at night. It may come in a meeting like this. But you'll hear it. You'll see it, and man, your spirit will leap. Your spirit will jump up, and you go, oh, glory to God, and your head will go, what? What are you saying? You say, your heart knows things your head don't know. And you'll be so excited about it, and you'll still be excited tomorrow and the next day. But the enemy, I said the enemy, he'll start bringing to you reasons why it's not going to work for you because you didn't do this and you don't know this and you messed up here. This is a battle every day. And what you'll find is if you listen to that and you don't deal with it properly, over a period of days and weeks, you lose your excitement that you got back there. You lose your enthusiasm about it, and you can let your confidence go out of your hands, out of your heart. You can let it get away from you. Keep reading. Well, we're made partakers if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. How long do you need to hold on to it? Long as it takes. To the end. Right? To the end. And go to the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter and verse 35. 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your what? Don't let anything take your confidence. Why? Because if you keep it, it's going to pay off. It has great, not just a little bit, great recompense of reward. But you got to hold on to it. Why does he keep telling you that? Because the devil is trying to wrestle it out of your hands and replace it with guilt and condemnation and convince you that, yeah, maybe if you had as much faith as so-and-so, but you don't. Yeah, maybe if you'd live right, but you don't. And the list goes on and on, but the results are the same. Disappointed, discouraged. I guess, you know, they're just not much to me. I just come short in so many ways. And that's why he's convinced so much of the church to go, I'm just an old sinner. Saved by grace, maybe. We hope. Now you're laughing, but you know, in a lot of churches, every Sunday there is a remembrance of sin. And while the same people that answered the altar call the last eight times will get up and go again. Why? Because you're thinking about my sin. That's not okay. I said, that's not okay. That's playing into the devil's device, his activities. That's exactly what he wants. He wants to keep you beat down, ashamed, weak, not confident. Come on, everybody, say, I have confidence in the Lord my God. I have confidence in the Word of God. I have confidence in the blood of the Lamb. That's what fixes it.
That's right.
Hey.
Thank you, Lord.
Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience.
Yeah.
Now see, that's why I read the third chapter. You hold on to your confidence how long? Long as it takes.
Right.
To the end. I mean, if you believe God and you're all confident and bold and stirred up for 5 days and then you quit, you get the same results as if you hadn't believed God at all.
Right.
You got to keep it. You got to stay with it.
Yeah.
After that you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now keep reading. Yet a little while, he that will come, shall come, will come, and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Is that you?
Yes.
Is that me? How many identify with this verse and say, that's me?
That's me.
The who?
The just.
The condemned?
No.
No.
The guilty?
No.
The ashamed?
No.
No, no, no. The justified.
Yes.
What's justified? Made righteous. Made right. The made right will live by faith. Huh? The guilty will lose their confidence. The justified will live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, just a few verses later in 11:6, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What? It's the same thing here. What does, not, if your heart condemns you, what does that cause you to do? The opposite of stepping forward and receiving. Guilt and shame and condemnation will cause you to draw back and go, oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm... Now, the picture is Peter in the boat when he first became acquainted with Jesus and he's preaching and the miracle happened. And he said, oh, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You need to depart from me. This is the greatest day he's ever had. It's the greatest words he's ever heard. And he's saying, go away. Go on. It doesn't make sense, but that's what condemnation will do to you. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. I shouldn't have it, you know. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. No confidence. He goes on to say, the just will live by faith, but if any man draw back or lose his confidence, let your confidence go, my soul have no pleasure in him. Here's a good confession. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition or destruction. But we are those that believe. We don't back up. We step up. Oh, come on, come on. We don't lay down. We rise up. Yes. Woo! Yes. The only thing that'll give you that is faith. Yes. The boldness and the power of the God kind of faith. And what part of my being do I do that with? My heart. So if it affects my heart, it's going to affect that.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:12, you don't have to turn there, but they'll put it on the screen. Ephesians 3:12, it's talking about Christ and in him, what he's done, in whom we have what? Boldness and what? Access. How do you get to what's been bought and paid for? How do you access it? How do you lay hold of it? How do you receive it? Knowing it and receiving it's two different things.
That's right.
We have boldness and access with what? With confidence by the faith of him. Now go with me to the book of Hebrews, please. And let's look at the wonderful, wonderful answer for condemnation. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody start saying thank you, Lord, in advance. Hallelujah. I'm moving a little bit too quick. You go to Hebrews 9, but on the screen, put up Proverbs 14:26. Hallelujah. The enemy's in trouble. He's got problems. Because once you see some of this, you're not going to unsee it. And he can't, once you lay hold of some of this, he can't take it away from you. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Hallelujah. The Amplified says it like this. In the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. There's a connection between confidence and reverence. Reverence and fear of the precious things of God. The English version says it like this. The ESV says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. We haven't reverenced the blood of the Lamb enough. Now, that's a big statement. People say, well, I've sung about the blood. I plead the blood. Yeah. But have you kept any condemnation? Are y'all with me? You understand what I'm saying? People will sing about the precious blood and walk out of church and carry their condemnation with them. It's happened over and over and over again. And that means there was a lack. There still remains a lack of faith in the blood. Of reverence for the power of the blood. What the blood is, what the blood has done, what the blood does every moment of every day. Hallelujah. The only cure, the only fix for heart condemnation is faith in the blood of the Lamb. There is no other. You can't get enough counseling sessions. Are y'all with me? You can't learn enough. You can't get enough degrees. You can't get smart enough. You can deny it. You can pretend it's not there. You can ignore it, but it's still there. There's only one thing. There's only one. One thing in all time and eternity, in all the universe, that can cleanse and purge a guilty conscience. It is the precious blood of the spotless Lamb of God. Woo-hoo-hoo. And if you or I have any remaining guilt and shame and condemnation, it's because we don't have enough faith in that blood. We haven't received the full work of that blood. And what are we waiting on? Huh? That's what I said. I got stirred up about. Brother Copeland read that, and we talked about earlier, how will they hear without a preacher? I'd read that many times. But when the prophet said it with the anointing on it, I thought, Let's read the verse that I'm talking about. Hebrews 9. Are you okay? You in a great big hurry? All right. Heard somebody say, take your time. Thank you. Hebrews 9. Hallelujah. And let's start in verse 9. It would do us good to read the entire two chapters here, 9 and 10. But for if I try to preach on every one of these, you know. But Proverbs 9 and 9, he was talking about that everything that God showed Moses, that he built the tabernacle, and that the Lord had said to him specifically, see to it that you make it exactly like the pattern that I showed you in the mountain. And the reason was, is the Lord showed him the things that are actually in heaven to this very day, this very moment. They're there. And he's making natural replicas of what actually exists in heaven. Hallelujah. And the tabernacle and the holy place and then the Holy of Holies where the ark was. And he went into detail about how the angels, the cherubim, wings were over it. I saw something the other day, and they were talking about the Ark of the Covenant. It was a little box about this big. The angels were about that tall. I thought, no. Because I read where when he told him how to make those angels, they were like 15, 18, 20 foot tall a piece. And then their wings were like 7-8 feet on each side. And they are bent over, overshadowing the mercy seat. Woo! We're going to see it one day. We're going to see the real thing. They're called the cherubim of glory. Glory. And inside the ark was the two tablets of the Ten Commandments that God wrote with his own finger. And the pot of manna that God rained down out of, that he kept from spoiling indefinitely. And Aaron's rod that budded without a top or a bottom. And somebody says, where's that ark now? God has it. He took it. If it had stayed down here, people would have worshipped it, you know. He has it. But keep reading in Hebrews 9 and verse 9. It said, these things were a figure for the time present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. You'll find he keeps referring to the conscience. Why? That is the heart. Your conscience is of your heart. And he said, no matter how many sacrifices they made with these natural sacrifices, it could not fix the guilty conscience. Couldn't do it. And he goes on to say, it stood in meats and drinks and divers washings and natural ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, all those years, it was pointing to something. Huh? Pointing to something that could and would fix the condemned heart, the guilty conscience. Christ being come, a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Woo. By his own blood, he entered in once. I want to hear you say once. What does once mean?
Once.
One time. He entered in once into the holy place. Let's talk about the Holy of Holies. Not on earth on the tabernacle. In heaven. Holy of Holies. Having obtained. It's not in the process. It's not coming. He did it. One time. And he obtained eternal redemption for us with his own blood. Oh. Hold your place there. This book started off with this statement. Hebrews 1:3, don't go there. You just hold your place in the ninth chapter. But Hebrews 1:3, put it on the screen for us. Talking about Jesus being the brightness of God's glory. The express image of his person. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Our master is so great. He is great far beyond our comprehension of him. When he had by himself purged our sins. Now, you'll still hear people talking about my sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. No, they are not. No, they are not. No, they are not. Purge means cleansed, washed away and purified. The blood of animals covered the sin for another year, but could not take the sin away. Are y'all awake or not? If the sin, your sin, that the devil's trying to bother you about, if it has been washed away, If you have been purged and cleansed and purified from it, why are you still talking about it?
Amen.
Why are you still thinking about it? That's a trick of the devil. I want to hear you say, he has.
He has purged
my sin.
Once and for all.
Glory to God. After, by himself, he had no help from an angel, from anybody. He did it right by himself. Somebody say, I love you forever, Lord. I did it by himself. He was and is the sacrifice and the offerer of the sacrifice. He brought his own blood into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. And laid it on the mercy seat. And it was and is and will always be the complete propitiation or satisfaction to the Father for all justice forevermore, so that you and I do not owe for our sin. He paid for it. And so then his blood has purged, not covered, purged, cleansed, washed. When we say washed by the blood, you got that right. Huh? And when we say washed, we mean after it's washed, you can't see where it was. No stains, no remnant.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm talking about faith in the blood. How powerful it is. Not like some magical phrase, I plead the blood. What are you talking about? When you say it. What do you mean? You're saying what the blood has done, I receive.
Yes.
It has made me clean.
Yes.
I am clean.
Yes.
You either washed or you're not. Right? You either forgiven and cleansed or you're not. If you are, why keep talking about it? Why keep listening to the devil about it? When the enemy brings up a past sin and a mistake to you, you ought to, before he gets through describing it, you ought to say, I'm washed. I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean by the blood. What will that do for your heart, church? Come on. What will that do for your heart? Then you got no condemnation. Then what happened? Your confidence. Oh, your confidence and your boldness just rises up. And whatever you ask, you receive. That's what the scripture said. Whoo. I want to hear you say, I have faith.
I have faith.
In the blood,
of the Lamb.
In the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, the strong confidence. We need to reverence the blood. We need to value the blood so highly. I had a big man tell me one time, we were in some situations and I was praying for him, and you could tell he had lived a really bad, rough life. He looked at me, he said, yeah, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. I said, yeah, it just came right up in my spirit. I said, yeah, and you don't know how powerful the blood is.
Come on, that's good.
He looked at me and just kind of melted. I said, it's greater than all your sins. He believed it. He melted in a puddle and started thanking God. What's so special about your sin? Huh? No. Your sin, my sin, is not greater than the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't begin to compare with the power in the blood of the Lamb. Go back to Hebrews 9. He said, verse 11, Christ, Hebrews 9:11, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in.
One.
Every time you see this word in these, I want to hear you say it out loud.
Yes,
once.
One.
He entered in
once
into the holy place, having obtained a temporary, eternal redemption for us. That's why you can say one time. One and done. Huh? One and what? Done for how long? Done for how long? Forever. The fix for your sin is done forever. Is that right? Nothing else will ever need to be done about your sin. To try to do something to pay for your sin and make up for it is to insult the blood and act like it wasn't enough. By his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, that's all it could do, affect the flesh and cover it for another year. But how much more shall the blood of the anointed one, who through the eternal spirit offered himself. He did it by himself. He offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience. I want to say it again. This is the only thing that can cleanse a guilty conscience. Nothing else can. You can ignore it. You can pretend. You can reason. You can rationalize. You can try to tell yourself it wasn't that bad. You cannot get rid of a guilty conscience by any gymnastics of mental things or psychology or knowledge or works or trying to pay for it. When you get through trying to pay for it, you'll still have a guilty conscience. But there is something. One thing that was done one time that can not salve your conscience, not soothe your conscience, purge means it's not there anymore. Purge means it's been washed, it's been cleansed and purified. You can't tell it was there.
That's right.
Nothing else can do that.
That's right.
But the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
But the blood of the Lamb can do it. No matter how much and how bad and how long and how far you did, your sin is not greater than the blood.
That's right.
I want to hear you say it again. I have faith.
I have faith.
Full faith.
Full confidence.
In the blood of the Lamb.
To cleanse me
of all sin
and purge
my conscience
from all guilt.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now skip down to verse 22. All of this is good. I recommend you read it at home by yourself again. You'll get more out of it after today. But verse 22, he said, under the law, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. There is no fix for it apart from blood. And it was necessary that the patterns of these things in heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for who? Not for himself. He didn't mean it for himself. All of this is for us. For us. Keep going, keep going. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now.
Once.
Now once. In the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Did he do it, church? Come on, did he do it? Verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men, once, do you see he keeps emphasizing this, once, not a time to die, but one time to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was
once
offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When he hung on the cross, all your sins, all my sins were laid on him and converged on him. And the next time we see him though, there will be no sin. It's gone. I said, it's gone.
Yeah.
He has already cleansed and purged. Whew. Keep going. Chapter 10. Chapter 10. For the law. Let's see. Do we get this? For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices that they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now here's the thing. Religion is still practicing the cycle of condemnation. Still doing things to remind of sin, remind of sin, remind of sin. That's not the new covenant. That's not the gospel. Can never with those sacrifices make the comers thereunto perfect, for then would they have ceased to be offered. If it had got the job done, they would have quit offering them. Because, and this is the scripture that Brother Copeland read the first night of this meeting that got me so stirred up. Because that the worshipers once purged would struggle with guilt the rest of their lives. Huh? Well, we're all just broken people struggling to do the best we... No! No! That is not being a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things... Old things... All things have become new. The worshipers once purged should have had what?
No more.
No more conscience, consciousness, awareness of sin. If I'm thinking about my sin and my mistakes, I'm letting the devil play me. I'm letting him trick me and deceive me. I'm letting him undermine my faith. Condemnation destroys confidence. And that's your faith. It affects your heart, the part of your being that you believe God with. And the enemy, he's so subtle. He's so tricky with this stuff. So many times he's doing it and people don't even know he's doing it. They just sit there and they feel bad. Remember how bad I messed up on that? I should be further along than I am. I'm just a sad case. That's sin. A definition of sin means missing the mark.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Are you missing the mark conscious? Are you conscious all the time of, well, I missed it here, didn't I? Yeah. Well, I should have done that, didn't I? Yeah. Well, just the tone of it. Yeah. Yeah. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
What is that? That's no confidence. That's weak. That's faithless. And so what else needs to be done? How in the world can we get free from this sin and this condemnation and this guilt and shame? God help me. God help me. He's going to say, read the book. He does not need to go to the cross again. He does not need to shed his blood again. He has done it
one
time. And it fixed it forever. What needs to happen, we need to believe it. We need to have more faith in the power of the blood. Whew. He said, verse 3, but in those sacrifices there's remembrance again made of sins every year. This is happening in religious circles all over the place. Remembrance of sin. Remembrance of sin. It's a trick of the devil. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should what?
Take away.
Mm-hmm. They could cover it. Temporarily, they couldn't take it away. It was still there. Take it away. Wherefore, when he comes to the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body you have prepared me. That's Jesus' body. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Why? It didn't fix it. Couldn't fix it. Then I said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, that's the whole Bible. It's written about me.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
To do your will, O God. What's God's will? To have you and I cleansed and purged from this awful sin and guilt and shame so he could love us and hold us to his holy bosom and bless us like we never made a mistake. That's what pleases God. That's why he's a father. That's what makes him happy. Whew. He said, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, you had no pleasure in that were offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. Now, I want you to notice this. By the which will, this is a confession. We are sanctified. Not going to be. I'm cleansed, made holy, set apart through the offering of the body of Christ.
What?
How many times we got to work on this?
What?
How long we got to keep working on this?
What?
We didn't do it.
Right?
He did it. We couldn't do it. He's already done it. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I want to hear you say it once for all.
Once for all.
Once for all. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, all this man, the Christ man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. Why? Because it is finished. It is done. It is done. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, I want you to mark this verse. I want you to note it. I want you to get it, please, in your thinking. Hebrews 10:14. Say it out loud. Hebrews 10:14. Hebrews 10:14. What chapter?
Hebrews.
10. Hebrews. What verse?
14.
What verse?
14.
Hebrews?
10:14.
What does it say? What does it say? By one offering.
Yeah.
He has perfected forever.
Yes.
Them that are sanctified. That's you. That's me. By one offering. Now skip down to verse 22. Well, should be already closed. so I'm thinking about it seriously now. 22. What's the result? Huh? As a result of this, what do we do? Let us not draw back, not cower, not say I can't, I'm not good enough, I don't know enough. Hush, nobody wants to hear that. Hush. Let us draw near, huh? With a true heart, in what, in what, in what? Full. What is the only thing that could have got us to a heart of full confidence, full assurance? We had to get rid of the guilt. We had to get rid of the condemnation. We had to get rid of our heart bothering us and condemning us. And don't let this be the last time you think about this. You may want to hear this message again a few times, right? You want, and especially if something's bugging you about it. Feed your faith on the power of the blood.
Power of the blood.
We've fed our faith. God wants us prosperous. That's good. We've fed our faith. God wants us healed. That's good. But if your heart's condemning you, even though you're completely convinced of it, you won't have confidence to receive it. Even though it's bought and paid for. So we got to have faith fed on this. Right? Faith in the blood. To do what? Purge. Purge, cleanse, wash, purify, and bad conscience. That's what he said. Keep reading. Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from what? Evil means bad. From a bad conscience. What did that for us? Well, for the last two chapters, we've been talking about the blood.
That's right.
And our bodies washed with pure water. Then let us do what? Let us. Now see, we've used this talking about our healing confession. And that's okay, but specifically speaking, he's talking about your conscience being purged and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, that you hold fast to the confession, I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm clean, purged from all sin, all guilt, all shame. And if I'm clean, I deserve no punishment. I'm innocent. I'm clean. I deserve no punishment. Why? Well, what about your sin? What sin? See, with the devil, you need to answer this. What sin are you talking about? What sin are we talking about? He took pictures of it. He took video of it because he wants to replay it for you 1,000 times. Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He's got 40 different angles and shots of you messing up and making mistakes. But when you really do this from your heart and you appropriate and apply the power of the blood to that, he'll say, well, let me show you. Let me show you. And he puts it up and it's blank. God said, their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. So we must quit talking about it. We must stop talking about our mistakes.
Yes.
And talk about how we're purged.
Yes.
Cleansed. Yes. Washed. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. In the volume of the book, it's written, he told them, he told us, I'm doing it. I'm coming. I'm taking care of this. I'm fixing everything that Adam and Eve messed up. I'm fixing everything that the devil has done. I'm coming. I'm going to do it myself. And he did once and for all. Hallelujah. Heaven has accepted that. The Father has accepted that. It's on the mercy seat, and I accept it. I am redeemed and washed forever. Amen. Stand on your feet, everybody. Woo-hoo-hoo. Glory to God. 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 Lift up your hands. Lift up your voices. I know I took a little extra time, but I wanted us to receive communion today. I want us to take. Have you got a moment? We're not having service tonight, so I want us to stir ourselves up when we hold the communion cup. And we talk about the blood today, that we have greater reverence and greater faith in the blood than we have ever had before. Do you think we can do this, church? Okay, ushers, come down to the front. Sing with the people. Watch to your serve. You can be